WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Severe weather continues today.
Deadly storms have caused widespread damage and left hundreds of thousands without electricity across the southern plains, deep south and southeast. Brittany Dietrich's house was damaged in Ooliga, Oklahoma, outside Tulsa.
Looked out the window and it was just calm. And then I started hearing a big roaring sound like a train coming. And that's how I knew there was a tornado out there.
At least one person was killed in storms early this morning in Mississippi. The severe weather threat will continue into tomorrow.
That's CBS's Jim Krasula. A sweltering heat wave in India has killed close to 170 people in recent days. CBS's Vicky Barker has the story.
Northern India is used to summer heat waves, but not like this. 110-degree temperatures and high humidity have left hospitals overwhelmed, and routine power cuts leave people without running water, fans, or air conditioners for hours at a time.
India's government has been criticized for waiting until yesterday to issue heat warnings, days after forecasters first predicted the blistering temperatures. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with Chinese President Xi Jinping in Beijing today. At a press conference at the end of the visit, Secretary Blinken was asked about discussions over Taiwan.
We do not support Taiwan's independence.
The visit comes amid strained relations between the U.S. and China, including unilateral sanctions imposed by the U.S. Firearms deaths in America are up 45% over the last few years. Josh Horowitz with Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Violence Solutions says there are ways to combat this problem.
Limiting access to firearms in public is important. And of course, investing in community violence intervention programs.
There have been more mass shootings this weekend, including one yesterday in suburban Chicago that killed one person and injured at least 22 others. We have a new warning about a dangerous health condition. CBS's Deborah Rodriguez has that story.
A new study finds non-alcoholic fatty liver disease has skyrocketed over the past 30 years. Certain genes and metabolic disorders can contribute, including obesity, diabetes, and high blood pressure. Researchers say Hispanic Americans are disproportionately affected.
As we reflect on the treatment of Black Americans on this Juneteenth, it's time to look at systemic racism.
White supremacy, you know, as an ideological construct, remains embedded in our structures and institutions. And we can see it manifest in things like the wealth gap between Blacks and whites, health disparities, and mass incarceration.
Daryl Heller is at Indiana University. This is CBS News.
Hiring's a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. A Kenosha SWAT team was in operation this morning. The scene is near 60th Street and 20th Avenue, and police say to avoid the area. We're working on learning more about what's going on. Milwaukee experienced a series of non-fatal shootings over the weekend with a total of 9 people injured. The incident included 2 double shootings involving 2 teenage girls and 4 additional shootings. Police have made an arrest in one of the cases. There's new rules on where and when you can buy a taco. Pete Schwaba has more.
Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson has signed a new ordinance imposing restrictions on food trucks, including a requirement for downtown food trucks to close by 1 a.m. While city aldermen argue that the rules are necessary for preventing issues with large crowds, a Wisconsin law group opposes the regulations, considering them anti-competitive.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to 3 different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTW Law.
Hey,
This is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your local business benefit from reaching thousands of radio listeners in the Metro Milwaukee area? Show your American pride by sponsoring a radio promo celebrating Independence Day, listing city firework displays, and honoring military veterans. If you're a key decision maker for your company and would like to learn more, email your name and number to Lindsay at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us. Happy Independence Day.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Good morning, Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram, the Earl Ingram Show. We got Monday. Calvin, how do people call into this show?
You can call in at 844-967-2789.
All right, well, we've got some callers. David from Mequon. David, how are you this morning?
Doing well, Sandy. Thanks for taking my call, and hello to John. Nice hearing your voice on the air again. So I've been listening to your conversation here in detail. One thing I would mention, so you briefly mentioned about SpaceX, and you know that's privately owned, and they have substantially reduced the cost as to what NASA has been spending, because there's an incentive on the private side to obviously to make a profit. And in that sense, I shouldn't be comparing apples to apples, but the reason why it's come down substantially is because there's incentive to cut costs at all possible points and still get the same result or better than what's currently being done. And I would point out, and you guys were mentioning about the MRIs, and yes, that's a very common machine now. You can literally have it done like in an outpatient office facility now. I would point to LASIK eye surgery. When that first came out, was exponentially very expensive. And consequently, because it is pretty much private and that level, you can really get a tremendous, down in price tremendously.
Well, actually, David, let's talk about LASIK, though. LASIK was never covered by insurance. It was discretionary insurance. Correct. Paid for out of people's pockets. And so they were cost conscious. So, okay, this is exactly what John is talking about. We live in a system where, yes, we have private health insurance, but the very, you know, and the government is currently only a third of the spend, right? That third is a big number, but it's only one third of the total medical care spend. The rest of the medical care spend is all private. And the vast amount of our hospital provisions are provided through private entities, okay? You know, we can say that Aurora St. Luke's is a not-for-profit, but that's really that's not a fair characterization of it. They make huge reserves. They operate in every way like a for-profit organization would. But the problem is the system that we've set up in America doesn't have this feedback loop like you described for LASIK. I'm glad you mentioned LASIK, because LASIK is a unique is one of the unique areas where it's always essentially only been covered by private expenditures.
Well, I wanted to really quickly just point out, so you guys mentioned both Medicare and Medicaid, and they're a little bit less than what the defense budget is on each, you know, on each level. That being the case, what you did not mention was the fact that we have an ornate amount of money in the ACA law for subsidies to help out with lower income Americans. I don't know what that number is off the top of my head, but I'm sure that's
it's a big number.
Substantial. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost $1 trillion.
Probably when you factor that in, Sandy, you go from one third between the Medicare and Medicaid, we're probably pushing closer to like 60% government run amount of money.
No, wait. None of these things. No, wait, David, just 1 second. Government run. No, it's government funded. It's government funded in the same insulated way for the user as tax, as insurance. So, yes, this is a tax-based fund, but it's handled in every way as if it was third-party insurance. So you go to the hospital, you get serviced, and it gets paid for. And if you're poor, it gets paid for by Medicaid. If you're not poor, it gets paid for by your insurer. But you are insulated from the knowledge of the cost of it, okay? And so it isn't much different in that respect in terms of how it moderates the amount we spend in terms of our spend as a percentage of GDP.
But I would also add this, Andy, and I don't know if John could, delve into this. So my father, who's 87, has a Medicare Advantage plan. So that is through Humana. And again, there is a subsidy from the federal government to cover the expenses that Medicare does not cover, because it doesn't cover 100%. There's a lot of things that it is left out of the equation. So, again, I would just point out the fact that there is a huge correlation between big business, in this case, big health industry, and the government. And consequently, you have where it's like they're kind of like in cahoots together. And the costs are just exorbitant because you have a lot of, I think, inefficiencies between the two, because you literally have the government saying, well, you have to provide this. The insurance company is saying, okay, this is what we got to do. Keep in mind, there's no more caps on the ACA. So, we used to have caps. I think it was, several million per citizen, prior to the ACA law coming into play. Now that you have unlimited, it's that the company has to factor in there. What if that person, decides to, they go in for a very expensive procedure? Let's say my dad, hypothetically, his health is okay. It's not the best. But at his age, I don't think there's really a sit down with the patient in this case. Let's say, how much is this really going to cost you? And we never really know the price of certain procedures because that's never really published.
Well,
other than maybe like once or twice a year.
Let me just cut to the chase for you, Dave. I mean, I think what you're outlining is the very problem that John and I are talking about, which is the insulation of our system from disciplined buyers and the problem of K Street lobbying, which has insulated the buyer, which is the government, from exercising discipline with respect to the costs that it reimburses. And, of course, the insurance industry, which has a whole set of incentives that move it in the direction of not trying to have lower premiums and lower costs, but the opposite. So the reason I wanted to feature this on the show today is that we spend an awful lot of time, conservatives and liberals, arguing and talking about the brush fires, but we've got in the United States a couple of very festering wounds, which if we solved it, could solve, for instance, if we spent, you've identified along with John, $1.5 trillion a year of expenditure in the healthcare industry, that if we were spending not $12,000 per capita, but $8,000 per capita would be $1 trillion, not $1.5 trillion. We'd be saving $500 billion of federal expenditures, which is a huge number with respect to the taxes we have to achieve to pay it, a huge number with respect to comparisons to the deficits we run each year. It's a huge burden. I wanted to move on to John. Thank you, David, for calling in. And I think you highlight exactly. And the reason I have this going today is I wish that the American public would push its its potential candidates. I wish CJ, a frequent caller, would push his conservative candidates towards solving the healthcare issues in the United States and the healthcare costs. John from Buzz, welcome for your calling in, and what do you have to say?
Yeah, I started my life at General Electric Medical Systems, first building CAT scanners in production before we ship them to the customer or hospital. Then I got into research on MRI. Now, I wanted to say that's where I came from. Today, do you remember how the old times were where you went to high school and the worst thing you could get caught doing was smoking in the boys' room?
Well, I suppose if you were smoking in the girls' room, John, you'd get in more trouble, but yeah.
Yeah, and that would be compounded interest.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I wanted to say something. I'm reading John Bolton's book right now about his working for Donald Trump. And he points out a few good facts, if we could focus on that for a little bit.
Is it, John, just tell me this. Is it going to be related to healthcare, or is it going to be related to reasons why we ought to worry about Donald Trump running for president in 2024?
Well, let's focus on healthcare today.
Okay, that's good.
And I was paid to build those CAT scanners.
Incidentally, John started his career at GE Medical Systems, too. So apparently it spawned a lot of you folks.
Yeah, in the MRI group, the original MRI group.
Yes, they called it NMR.
Mm-hmm.
Nuclear
didn't resonate well from a marketing perspective. So.
Yeah, and so that's where we came from, you know. Well, back then, John, a slice was $1,500 for one picture of your inside of your brain, you know, between your ears. $1,500 back then. That was 40 years ago. Well, guess what? 40 times 10, if you go, that's four decades. Now, kids, number one thing for kids is entertainment, and they're shooting up each other on television with these game shows.
Yeah. Well,
that's the biggest seller.
Yeah. John, thank you for your call. And we do need to work on, and one of the things you point out, this relationship between costs then and now, is that some of these costs have not gone down. Some obviously have based on the development of the technology. But what is true is that to get something done in the United States almost always costs more than to get the same thing done elsewhere. You know, I flew to Turkey and there were people from America flying over to Turkey to have hair transplants because how much cheaper it was in Turkey. And there is lots of medical vacationing that's ongoing now, medical travel from the United States to other places to take advantage of the lower costs which are being realized in those countries. And in large part, it's being realized because the healthcare systems in those countries are organized differently to have more interest in cost controls. We'll be back after the break to talk some more about health.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Hey,
Insure yourself a brighter future with help from insurance agent Stephanie Morales. Stephanie's passion is educating families on affordable, sufficient coverage, along with using your insurance for emergencies to major purchases while you're alive. Book a free insurance consultation with Stephanie Morales today at stephaniemorales.net or call 414-791-0124. That's 414-791-0124. Call today to begin that brighter future. Stephanie Morales Insurance. Creating a legacy.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media Radio station and on the app.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunny skies and calm this afternoon with highs around 82. Winds out of the east 5 to 10 miles an hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows level off around 57. Bright sunshine expected tomorrow. Highs level off around 82. Temperatures near average Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 70 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. At 12:15, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show on 540 AM WAUK.
When I feel open and I'm to be, kind of tight hands on your seat.
AJ Proch. Good morning. Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram, the Earl Ingram Show. Calvin, how do people call into this show?
The number is 844-967-2789.
Okay. This morning we're talking about health. I decided to have a kind of a featured issue, and I thought we would feature an issue that really is an underlying problem in the American economy. It's the kind of massive problem that our politicians ought to be focused on. We ought to be focused on solving. You know, we had the huge debate that related to Obamacare, which really was not going to solve the underlying problem of how much we spend as a percentage of our GDP on healthcare and the healthcare system. John, and I've got John Hopkins on. John is a computer scientist who's devoted his professional career to the health industry and is now very knowledgeable, involved in trying to set up pathways for people to avoid some of the problems associated with health insurance, the cost of health insurance, and also to diminish the cost of healthcare. And we'll talk about that in a while. But John, how did our American system get to this process? I mean, you know, we're about the only country that depends on employers to pay for healthcare. It's a benefit that has become a big problem in negotiations. Employers have been trying to get out from underpaying benefits of all sorts. They've tried to back out of pensions. Pensions are a big problem for as a cost and as a cost control measure. And now healthcare, this burden of us spending, 50 to 60% more per capita on healthcare is a burden basically borne by industry. How do we get here?
It is. Well, in the United States is fairly unique in this way. You know, before about, say, let's say 1930, there wasn't a lot of healthcare to buy. You basically, you know, you may be splinted up a broken arm. There was no penicillin before the turn of the century. So there just wasn't a lot of healthcare to buy. But as there started to become more demand for more expensive healthcare, there was a little bit of insurance that showed up in the 1930s. But what really happened was in World War II, Executive Order 9250, which was signed by Roosevelt, said that you couldn't increase wages because of the potential inflationary issues due to the labor shortage. But they did allow you to offer additional benefits. And so companies started saying, we'll pay for your health insurance as a benefit in lieu of an increased salary. And this immediately became entrenched.
And also, these companies must have helped organize the Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance organizations then?
Blue Cross Blue Shield had been organized in the 30s. Blue Cross in Texas, representing hospital systems, and then the providers by Blue Shield in California in the early 1930s. And then they merged in 1982. The other interesting thing that happened was the IRS allowed those benefits to be tax deductible for the companies. And so the cost allowed them to reduce their tax obligation. But one of the perverse outcomes of this is that in 2017, for example, that resulted in about $260 billion in lost tax revenue. So you have this double whammy that companies were dependent on this benefit to both attract employees and also as a tax deduction.
Well, salaries are tax deductible too. So this was an alternative to salary. But I think what you do point out is that to the extent that the United States spends 50% more per capita for healthcare means that number, that $260 billion of lost tax revenue, could be much smaller than that. It could be $180 billion of lost tax revenue. It could be $80 billion more of tax revenue if we had the same kind of per capita cost. So again, I bring us back to the fact that in the U.S., by spending 50% more per capita on healthcare and getting worse medical outcomes, it is costing the government money in terms of lost taxes to a significant degree, but it's also costing the government a substantial amount, maybe $500 billion of excess expenditures on the health care benefits that are paid for by the government. So you point out something that is sort of expandable from the standpoint of, okay, this is a problem for industry, but it's a huge problem for government.
Right, and people have become dependent on this notion that they get their health insurance through their companies. So this is that extra layer of insulation that I mentioned before. They have no idea. If you ask the average employee, what does your health insurance cost? They go, I don't know. I pay $200 in a month, but after that, I have no idea. Not realizing that there's probably a $1,800 to $2,000 premium on top of that their company pays per month. So that's a huge load on their potential salary increase.
And one of the problems with this whole insurance program is that the way insurance companies make profits relates to the size of the premiums they receive, right? And the size of the premiums they receive relates directly to the total costs of medical care that they pay out for. So maybe it is that insurance companies don't have an incentive to reduce costs. Maybe they have an incentive to actually help support the increase in costs for medical care.
That's
is that
correct.
Right?
Yeah. That is.
So that's a perverse incentive. We've got perverse incentives. We've got plenty of them in the healthcare industry. And apparently we have another break. So when we get back, more talk about healthcare.
Summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Communities across Oklahoma are cleaning up after powerful storms. KOTV's Caitlin Diggs is in Sand Springs, Oklahoma.
Tess Mack was downstairs with her family when the storm hit. When she came upstairs, her daughter noticed there was a branch that had crashed through her ceiling.
Really just could not believe what I saw.
Firearms deaths in America are up 45% in the last few years. CBS's Christiane Benavides.
According to the Gun Violence Archive, which categorizes mass shootings as those where at least four people have been shot, there have been 310 so far this year.
As we reflect on the treatment of Black Americans on this Juneteenth, we also look at systemic racism.
It's critical that we learn and understand history fully and accurately, lest we succumb to the false sense that we've accomplished more than we have and that the work is over, when in fact it's not.
That's Daryl Heller with Indiana University. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. A collision yesterday in Milwaukee between a motorcycle and a scooter was deadly. Police say the scooter rider ran a red light and died at the scene. The man on the motorcycle was taken to the hospital for treatment. A trial is gearing up for a shooting at a summer stoplight last year. Jimmy Koska has the story.
Jury selection starts this week for the 27-year-old from Kenosha, facing charges of attempted homicide and recklessly endangering safety for allegedly firing shots at another car last year. 27-year-old Jeremy Jimenez is being held on a $250,000 cash bond, with the incident believed to have started with a fight outside of a bar, resulting in serious injuries to a 29-year-old Racine man.
Milwaukee experienced a series of non-fatal shootings over the weekend with a total of 9 people injured. The incident included 2 double shootings involving 2 teenage girls and 4 additional shootings. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed. Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram, the Earl Ingram Show. This morning we're talking about healthcare. I'm talking to John Hopkins, a friend, but also a guy who knows a lot about the healthcare industry. And what I'm trying to highlight by featuring this for the whole 2-hour period is the fact that the American economy has a serious problem. It has a couple of serious problems, but one of the most glaring serious problems is the extent to which we as a people, we spend too much on healthcare and we get outcomes that are inferior to the rest of the world. We have the most sophisticated potential healthcare delivery system, but we don't have access to it in the same manner that every other country gives access to healthcare to its people. Our outcomes aren't as good. And as the result of this huge expense, whether you're paying increased insurance premiums to cover the expense, or whether you're paying increased taxes, which are much like insurance premiums to bear the cost of what the government provides in healthcare, we're spending way too much of our money on healthcare. It's a parasite, and it's a drug on the market, so to speak. It's not good for our economy. We were talking about how we got here, and John was talking before the break about how it was that our employers became the people who provided us with our health care. I mean, I know that a baby boomer like me, when I took a job, I never worried about health care. You took a job and you immediately were covered by health care insurance. And when you went to college, you were covered by the health care insurance at the college. And, you know, this is something that didn't surface as a problem for America until, you know, in the 1980s, when people began to realize that they maybe weren't covered with health care. You know, we got there, and then this health care insurance thing, what are the incentives for the health care insurer to keep costs down, John?
Well, they have two elements to it. One is what they charge as premiums to their customers, and then the second is the rates they've negotiated with providers to compensate them for the services that are covered. And this is this separate opaque layer that we don't know what they're paying. In fact, most of the contracts threaten severe legal action if you disclose the actual compensation you receive from the insurance company.
But the healthcare insurer, the larger the premiums, the more the profit, right? So they're interested in having premiums go up. They might be interested year to year in squeezing the supplier in terms of what they reimburse, but in the long run, their total incentive is not to have the costs of healthcare in the United States go down. They want they would be incented if you looked at it from the standing back and looking at the forest. The insurer's incentive would be consistent with having healthcare costs go up. Isn't that correct?
Yes. Even if they maintain just the same margin, the way they increase their revenue is to have their total cost go up. And so there's really no incentive for them to reduce that cost of healthcare. The only incentive they have is the somewhat competitive market of somebody shopping for different premiums. But typically, an insurance company will have a lock on an area. And the reality is that most groups don't have that much of a choice.
And one of the other problems with insurance is that while the government mandated what the government certainly needed to mandate, which is that pre-existing conditions be covered by health insurance, they were unable to mandate that everyone get health insurance. And so the health insurance pool is filled with people who believe they need insurance, right? And the people who believe they need insurance are the ones who are older, who think they might be sick or are sick already, so that the insurance pool is filled with more probably sick people than the general population.
That's correct. And also, just by our very population, it is getting sicker and sicker because we are getting older. We are skewing, the population skews older, and older people require more medical care.
So with respect to health insurance, if you have private health insurance, you might expect or hope that the private health insurer would have an incentive to screw down the costs, to put pressure on the costs of health care, and get us so that we were more likely not to spend 50% more per capita on health care than every other developed country. But the fact is, they don't have that incentive. And then if the government, if we had health care for all, if we essentially had Medicare for all, that would be a government, essentially, insurance program in which there would be, everybody would be in that pool. You would have the benefit of mandated mandated participation, the premium wouldn't be negotiated or the subject of competition. It would be mandated by a tax level. But there would be the potential for that government to exercise the discipline of a buyer to put pressure on the sellers to keep the price down. That could happen theoretically, right?
That could. The likelihood of it happening in the United States is pretty much zero.
And it's zero. I think it's zero because, as we know, the lobbyists in Washington who represent the healthcare providers, the hospitals, the healthcare insurers, who represent Big Pharma, make sure to tie the hands of the government to keep it from being a tough negotiator on these costs.
That's right. And so herein lies the key element, which is most of our discussions are oriented around how to pay for the healthcare. You know, who's paying for the insurance, how much the insurance is, what's the structure of that. Virtually no discussion about how to fundamentally change the cost of the actual healthcare itself. And until we do, it's sort of a meaningless exercise to try and figure out how to rearrange the chairs on the deck of the Titanic.
And let's just talk about that for a minute, because whether you write a check to the government as a tax or whether you write a check to an insurance company for the premium on health insurance, it doesn't make any difference. If you got rid of all the health insurance premiums and your taxes went up some, it would go up by something like the healthcare premium that you otherwise were going to pay. And so it's just dollars out the door, right?
Right. So until you have truly a competitive market where the buyer, who in our case should be the patient, is making the decision about how those dollars are spent, there is no incentive for anyone to truly lower the cost and innovate. And this is the whole premise of the free market healthcare approach, which is there will be no change until that happens. Yet the forces of the insurance company, of the healthcare systems, and even the providers themselves — by providers, I mean clinicians — that is not in their interest to reduce the income of a hospital system or to reduce the income or elimination of an insurance company. And most providers are not interested in reducing their incomes. So we're in a very tough spot. And yet, until we actually put the decision-making in the hands of the buyer, you personally saying, I'm going to shop around and I want to see how much this costs me, clearly posted someplace, that until that happens, I'm afraid it will just keep going up, because there's no transparency and there's no decision making.
Yeah,
I can't go to a physician and say, hey, how much — go and ask your physician how much your colonoscopy is, and they will, to every single one of them, they'll say, I have no idea how much it costs.
Yeah, I mean, to the credit of the Trump administration, I think they did try to create by executive order a requirement that these kind of costs be posted and be publicly available. But John, you're involved now in a process in which there is the potential for direct market kind of reactions to try and control these costs. Can you explain quickly how that works?
Sure. There's a couple elements to it. One is that you have a system whereby providers sell their services directly to the consumer. In other words, the consumer, the patient, is the one paying for it, 100% of it. Now, they may have catastrophic insurance, meaning if it's above, say, $300,000.
So let's just talk about that for a minute. So let's say that you decide that you're going to bear the potential risk of $20,000 of out-of-pocket costs for your own health care. That's not too different from buying bronze care insurance right now, because it's going to cost you about $18,000 of a combination of premium and deductible to get your first dollar of insurance coverage if you have bronze care insurance.
That's correct.
So if you decided you're going to bear that risk and just pay that, and then you decided to buy insurance to cover all of your costs above $20,000 a year, you could buy that health insurance quite cheaply. And so you would have a much, much, much lower premium to cover the catastrophic loss, and you would bear the risk of whether or not you were going to spend anything like the health insurance premium plus the deductible out of your own pocket in any given year, right?
Right, and you're incented to take care of yourself so that you don't incur those costs. Now, there's always going to be
and
happenstance.
But the flip side
that
of this
doesn't happen at all.
Is that you would have, let's say, internists, these general practitioners, who would be willing to take payment from you directly. They would charge you maybe the same as the reimbursement level they would get for insurance from an insurance company, but they will operate independently from a hospital system, and they will be willing to provide you with that primary care on a cash basis that could minimize your out-of-pocket costs while at the same time providing you with good primary care.
That's correct. And so the idea is that you're eliminating the overhead of the insurance-based system, which is very expensive for a lot of providers.
Well, and if they're independent, you might be avoiding some of the overheads of the hospital system, which they would otherwise be employed by.
That's right. And so a hospital system will often say, well, we also treat all these patients that walk in the door and use emergency room as their primary care. Well, that's because it's a path of least resistance. If you had easily accessible primary care, like you do in a lot of countries, people would not be going to the emergency room. And so what turns into a $700 visit at the ER could easily be treated for $25 or $30 at an easily accessible primary care facility.
Which, of course, would go immediately towards reducing that $12,000 per capita that's spent
right.
U.S. resident on healthcare by making more efficient this process at the introductory level with interns.
Right. And so you have this system where people are now making a decision about their healthcare, and providers publish those prices. I had an interesting conversation with a physician not long ago. I was describing the system, and I said, well, the prices would be published. And he goes, well, how do you know they're accurate? And I said, well, it's because it's the physician themselves that's publishing it. It's by definition accurate. We are so used to this cat and mouse game where we try and figure out what the real cost is by having to get around the transparency rules, by calling a hospital and saying, well, how much is this going to cost me? Well, it all depends on your plan. It all depends on this. Yeah, it all depends on that. And so we're used to this idea that it's an unknowable entity. Every other business you know of,
posts
what it's going to cost.
Well, and in fact, this process is available today, isn't it? There are some practitioners who are doing exactly this, who are taking providing primary care for direct payment from the patient on a cash basis, not on an insurance basis, and they're in a position to make referrals to hospital, et cetera, so that the patient is in line to get the very same kind of care they otherwise would get.
If you go to the Oklahoma Surgery Center, for example, go to their website, they have a menu of all of the different myriad orthopedic procedures that they perform and the exact quoted price that you will pay when you come in for that procedure.
Yeah. Well, you know, so my point here is that there are methods. We have both governmental pressure we need to apply as well as private choices we can use. We're going to a break. We'll be back shortly. Bill from Oconomowoc is on the line. I've got John Hopkins. We're talking about healthcare.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies this afternoon with highs around 82. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Clear skies again tonight. Lows level off around 57. Daytime highs approaching 82. Tomorrow, ample sunshine expected. Temperatures near average Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 70 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute on 540 AM WAUK.
I know, my darling, I'll be back someday. Maybe I'll be over.
Good morning, Sandy Williams, sitting in for Earl Ingram, the Earl Ingram Show, Monday, Juneteenth. And today we're talking about healthcare, talking to John Hopkins, a friend and also an expert in the subject. Calvin, how do people call in, although we've only got a little bit left in this segment?
The number is 844-967-2789.
Okay, I think we've got Bill from Oconomowoc who's called in. Bill, what say you? How are you this morning?
Oh, great. And just a probably purpose-driven topic with tons of information. If I believe we can do a lot about healthcare costs without giving politicians involved, basically showing the country, hey, this system works the best. This system is expensive. We all know that, how to do that. And then as we speak, I have friends that are going through serious health concerns, and we're finding the grant money, we're finding all kinds of things of dealing with it, but it's knowledge. And thank you guys. So if you have a link, I'm going to hang up because you've got too much to talk about. I got to hang up. But if you got a link to what you're talking about, I myself want to become a healthcare advocate for my community. So let me know. I'm going to hang up. A great topic. Keep talking, but we can bring the cost down without politicians getting involved. Thank you.
Well, yeah, and I think the reason I wanted to have John on is that I hate to hold my breath for the politicians to solve this problem. Here we have this huge, glaring problem, hundreds of billions of dollars to be saved in our economy were we to address it, and yet we can't seem to get our politicians' attention, and they pay attention to all kinds of extraneous things. This is real money. This is a real impact on our economy. This is a real impact on the health of us, our children, our parents. And yet we can't seem to get a grip on it. John, you've been talking about sort of a market mechanism that at least begins to address this in a real way. Mm-hmm. How does it work?
Well, there's two components of any free market, and that is the supply and the demand. No surprise there. On the demand side, you have patients that are willing to pay for their healthcare directly by making their buying decision based on the information they have. Then the second element is providers that will directly engage with the patient and accept payment from the patient and clearly publish their pricing and stand behind their product. And that means that you have healthcare organizations that will accept cash, and typically by cash we mean direct payment as opposed to through a underwritten insurance, and accept cash. And in return, it's a very simple, much simpler transaction. And that means that their costs are a lot lower. And they will typically engage with what are called self-funded entities. So if you pay for your own healthcare directly, you are self-funded, meaning you pay for it.
And before the break, we talked about how if you decide to be self-funded, you could buy catastrophic insurance to cover your risk that your annual health insurance or your annual health costs would exceed, say, $20,000. So you can bite off $20,000 of risk, which incidentally isn't a lot more than what you would pay for the lowest level kind of healthcare insurance, right? Bronze care.
Right. So you may even have a higher level than that, because most people only about 30% of the population ever reaches their deductible.
Right. So
and that means they are self-funded.
Right. So if you decide not to be insured, you're avoiding an insurance premium and a deductible cost, which you might never spend in a given year absent insurance, which is why a lot of people choose not to be insured. They take the risk. They roll the dice, but they haven't got that catastrophic insurance to protect them. And they also don't have a health network like you've described that accepts cash.
Right. And that's a really important part, which is the providers themselves need to be able to offer these cash-based compensation. A lot of times there are contractual obligations to the insurance companies that say they can never offer a lower cash price than the lowest reimbursement that the insurance company offers. And that creates a very perverse system right there. So a lot of physicians will then divorce themselves from that and say, I only take cash. And so their customers are what are called self-funded companies. These are companies that...
companies or self-funded individuals.
Or individuals. And the result is that they pay for their care directly. And so there's a much closer relationship between the buyer and the seller. And the seller is incented to keep their costs down. The buyer is incented to shop carefully for their health care. And so... The final remark I want to make about that is that it would be in the best model where if the employer still wants to offer the benefit, they put money in an HSA, a health savings account, that the individual then uses to selectively buy their health care in that free market, causing the providers to become more and more innovative when it comes to actually reducing the cost. Can they provide levels of care, or more importantly, can they avoid necessarily expensive health care by taking a more proactive, more preventive-based approach to medicine?
And health savings accounts still are a part of our tax code, so that you can have a health savings account, which is not... So you can take money out of your income, avoid it being taxed as current income, and put it into a health savings account the same way you put it into an IRA. That health savings account could be used to buy catastrophic health insurance, and it could also be used to pay for your own health requirements, or it could roll over to a future year and be stored as money to be to use against your health risks in future years. So if you started at age 24 when you started being employed, setting up health savings accounts, maximizing the amount every year, you could, by the time you're 55, have a healthy chest of money put aside for your health risks, and meanwhile that money is available to you in an emergency were you to need cash.
Mm-hmm. That is, and that's the whole point of it, and yet very, very few people ever exercise it.
Yeah. Well, John, I want to thank you for today. I think
that's been great.
I think that the public needs to understand the extent to which our health system, one, is broken. Two, isn't working, isn't providing us with the health care we both need, want, and desire. And three, needs to be fixed, not just to make sure that we all get healthier and better, not just so that we focus more on wellness, but so that we save an enormous amount of dollars that are otherwise spent in taxes or in tax-like premiums for our insurance. So anyway, another day, Juneteenth. Happy Juneteenth. John, thanks a lot. We'll be seeing you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Ensure yourself a brighter future with help from insurance agent Stephanie Morales. Stephanie's passion is educating families on affordable, sufficient coverage, along with using your insurance for emergencies to major purchases while you're alive. Book a free insurance consultation with Stephanie Morales today at stephaniemorales.net or call 414-791-0124. That's 414-791-0124. Call today to begin that brighter future. Stephanie Morales Insurance, creating a legacy.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always.